Thirsty Thursday, and that means only one thing. It's time for the Bet the Board Weekend Installment Podcast. We'll be joined by Payne Insider in just a matter of seconds. Of course, those new listeners not used to the format, we'll break down a lot of the marquee games this coming Sunday. We'll also preview the Bears and Cowboys, the Thursday night game, where the Bears are a four-point home underdog with a total of 51 at the end of the podcast. And, of course, we'll get to a handful of your questions for those of you that submitted using the hashtag AskBetTheBoard. Payne, props to you for the first half lean you gave out on Monday, saying that might be the most attractive angle to back the Jets as a home dog against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, we knew they were going to give some effort. That was definitely the professional side. Full game got there as well, but a little hairy late. First half, they came out, ran the ball, were pretty effective, and I think you're going to get some efforts like that. I know there's a question we'll address later on in the podcast about teams with nothing to play for. Are they going to show emotion? And sometimes we'll get those spots, and the Jets were one of those on Monday night.
Definitely the haves and have-nots. Of course, we'll have a similar type scenario playing out as well on Thursday night, where the Bears just seem to be playing out the stretch. Dallas at 8-4 on the outside, looking in as far as the NFC playoff picture is concerned. But, you know, marquee games in what feels like every time slot this weekend, and we may as well start right in your backyard. The big news this morning on Thursday, Haloti Ngata suspended 4 games for substance abuse. Apparently his ADD started to act up, and Adderall not consistent with the NFL's controlled substances policy. Miami opened a 3-point favorite for this game. Number was bet down to 2.5 by the professionals, and you since see that number start to come up, 2.5 minus 20, a soft 3 out there, total of 45.5, maybe an elimination game for the Ravens and Finns.
I think it's a Super Bowl for both of these teams. Miami has not had much success against this Baltimore team. Last time they beat Baltimore was the Greg Camarillo big score to go to 1-15 on the season. So this is a tough matchup for Miami. Baltimore is extremely physical. You're talking short week, travel. We know why there was some professional money on Baltimore early in this week. Miami seems to be getting a little healthier. The report that I got today, Charles Clay put the helmet on, got out there a little bit. So it looks like some of their cornerbacks are going to be back this week. Cortland Finnegan's practiced 2 days in a row, so that is huge. The big question mark here is, can Miami exploit the issues with Baltimore's secondary? Right now, as good as Ryan Tannehill's playing, it's kind of, he's playing in a 20-yard box. They don't throw the ball deep down the field, and that's where San Diego has had their success, and most teams preparing for Baltimore are going to have their success. The secondary is just very, very bad. So it'll be interesting to see if Miami's O-line can provide enough time for Tannehill to push the ball down the field.
How much does the Ngata suspension change not only the Ravens' chances in this game, but their prognosis going forward through the final 4 weeks of the regular season?
It's an absolute huge loss. It really is. This is where their team, it's just so physical. Both of their lines are the strength of this team, and I know a lot of the ball watchers out there and fantasy players don't really focus on lines of scrimmage, but that's where Baltimore makes their hay, on the offensive line and defensive line. And so for this matchup, it's a huge, huge loss. Baltimore will now have to rely on those defensive ends, which are very good. And right now, as it looks, kind of the weakness of Miami are the tackle position. So it's a big, big loss. And obviously, it's their best defender. It's huge when you talk about moving forward. We already talked about the secondary being decimated. The great fix for a bad secondary is being able to get pressure on the quarterback with just your front four. So not as a big, big loss.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see where this number ends up settling. As we talked about, Baltimore clearly the side at +3 if they were at full strength. Now with that Ngata loss, I'm not quite sure how to approach it, but it can make a slight case for the game going over the total. You've seen a little bit of money from 45 out to 45.5. Interesting news today for a game that will obviously play a role in Baltimore's playoff forecast as well. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, the Bengals, a 3-point favorite. We'll call them 3 minus 20, total of 47. Reports out from Steelers Depot claiming that Ben Roethlisberger has been dealing with a fractured hamate bone in his wrist, which would explain his erratic passing performance last week in the loss to the New Orleans Saints.
Just a bit high last week.
just a bit outside.
This is really a tough game for me to handicap, and really the entire conference. That conference is just a train wreck. I don't know if there's a good team in the conference. I really don't. But Cincinnati controls their own destiny, leader in the division, not a big Cincinnati fan. It's what they did on the road was somewhat impressive, winning 3 road games in 3 weeks. So you got to tip their cap to them and taking control of the division. This would feel like a spot where Pittsburgh, off an embarrassing home loss off the bye week, would respond. I think as this number trends towards 3, I don't want anything to do with it. Gun to head, if I was in a pool and you can get 3.5, probably lean towards Pittsburgh. But a big, big game, not one that I will be involved with in the least bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, the opportunity to fade the Bengals may have come last week, especially as that number at Tampa Bay approached 6. I know we hit on that in great detail on the podcast, talking about a incompetent coach laying points on the road for the third straight road game, and Cincinnati did everything they could to try and piss that game away and squander opportunities against a bad Bucks team. Indianapolis and Cleveland, I mean, we may as well continue the trend in the AFC North, the only division in football where all three teams are 3 games over 500. Of course, the big news there, the Browns electing to keep Brian Hoyer as the starting quarterback. They're 3.5-point home underdogs against the Indianapolis Colts, one of the larger totals on the board for the weekend as well. This number hovering between 49.5 and 50. We've seen the Colts struggle at Pittsburgh in the road favorite role. Will some of their struggles continue when they go to the mistake by the lake?
Yeah, I think this is a big game for Cleveland. I like going back to Hoyer. What's really interesting when you break down Brian Hoyer, we know what he is. He's not a superstar, but one thing he's been elite at this season prior to the previous two games is stretching the field, getting the ball down the field. He was actually number one in the NFL in completions of 21-plus yards or more. You get back Gordon and you'd think that would continue, but doesn't seem to be the case. I think for this game, though, and we've seen some professional money on this, as soon as it got to 4, there was some resistance there. I'm not sure where this game stops. It might get back to 4, but I think the professional side will be Cleveland. I think that is the right side in this game. When you break down Indianapolis last week, I think that score was a little deceiving. They had a goal line stand. They had a defensive score on 4th and inches for the Redskins. So I think Cleveland is the side here, especially at 3.5 and 4.
I would agree there. I think the value's there and may make a very intriguing money line play. A little bit surprised to see the early betting splits indicate that this could be a relatively big decision for the house, needing Cleveland in this particular spot. Houston-Jacksonville, not a game that's probably worth our efforts. I will say the same about the Giants and Titans, although I would make the claim that the Giants may just be playing out the stretch. I think, you know, if you talk about teams that are still showing a little bit of fight, that probably applies to the Titans, Payne, but they just don't have the talent most weeks.
Yeah, not a lot of talent there. You have to check on the quarterback situation. I know Mettenberger got banged up late there. I think he should be good to play. The Giants last week, just an embarrassing loss. That might end Tom Coughlin's reign in New York. It'll be interesting to see. This is a game, if you're a recreational bettor, and what we talk about in finding angles on bad teams is you have to do your reading on this game. Read player quotes. See if they are going to show up. See what kind of the tone is of the locker room before you bet this game. But, you know, Tennessee likely the side here.
And you want to talk about futility and trends. The Giants 0-7 straight up their last 7 games, 1-6 against the number. Their lone cover coming on Sunday night against the Cowboys. Titans not much better, 1-10 straight up their last 11. They've gone 2-8-1 against the spread during that stretch. And home field advantage at LP Field apparently does not exist. The Titans now 1-9-1 against the number their last 11 home games. From a team that struggled and two teams playing out the stretch, we look at Carolina and New Orleans. The Saints getting an improbable road win, side of the professionals, of course, against the Steelers, but now laying double digits against Carolina. I think the Panthers' final score last week in Minnesota, though, a little bit misleading when you consider they did hold the Vikings to only 210 yards of offense.
Yeah, 2 punt blocks for touchdowns for the Minnesota Vikings. Carolina typically does okay against this Saints team. They have a little more physical brand of football, and, you know, typically the toughest bets to make are the best ones. When it's just tough to get yourself to the window or click that submit button, it's typically the best bet. And I think Carolina getting double digits will be the professional side come Sunday. Really no reason to go at this point. Let it continue to trickle up as high as humanly possible, and I think come Sunday you will see a position on Carolina from the professionals.
And you talk about Carolina's dominance against the Saints, at least from a point spread perspective. The Panthers 11-2 against the number the last 13 meetings between these two teams. And a little bit of history being made in the Motor City, where the Lions are listed as a double-digit favorite playing host to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number there, Detroit 10.5, we'll call the total 41.5. This is actually the second time the Lions have been double-digit home favorites, going all the way back to 1996. a spot where they failed to cover. Can we make a case for backing the Bucks, who have shown some fight over the last couple weeks, arguably should have covered against the Bears 2 weeks ago and got you to the window last week, no matter what number you took for their home date against the Cincinnati Bengals?
You know, it's a team that I've backed a lot this season. Backed them again last week. Backed them as dogs in Pittsburgh. Backed them as dogs in Chicago. That didn't really come to fruition, but it was the right side. For whatever reason, I'm staying away this week. Something tells me that this isn't the spot to back Tampa. Again, double digits in the NFL, there will be professionals gravitating towards the Bucks, but for my money, it won't be invested on the Bucks this weekend. Just a weird feeling I have that they don't really show up this week.
And you've talked about spots, clearly one brewing in the nation's capital. We can call them team dysfunction with the RG3 distractions. But Washington, a little bit surprising to see them as almost a field goal underdog, 2.5 minus 20, minus 25 out there. The Rams trounced Oakland last week. Can they carry that some of that momentum forward? Believe there will be a position from the professionals on the Skins if it gets to 3, but are you on board with backing Washington here as a short home underdog?
I think you nailed it at that number of 3. It's always important to realize what kind of money and what the actual position is from the professionals and what their thoughts are in games. And we've seen a little money come in on St. Louis early in the week. I wouldn't be really – I don't think it's real. So I think the Skins at 3 is going to be the professional side here. It'll be interesting to see if it does get to 3 minus 10 both ways. So for me, it's Washington or pass. Especially if I can get a decent price 3.
Jets and Vikings, I don't really intend to waste much of my breath on the Jets, so unless you have a strong nugget here, Payne, to try and get our Bet the Board listeners to the window, I'll let you fire. But we talked about the Jets enough on Monday night. They at least didn't let us down, but at the same time, I'm done with this football team.
Yeah, you know, it's probably not a good spot for the Jets. Again, read player quotes. We saw earlier a few weeks ago, Kelvin Pace talk about that Bills game and say, hey, we wish it was Sunday so it could have gotten over sooner. Then we saw some different player quotes last week about getting up for the Dolphins game. This, to me, feels like a flat spot. Yes, you got Decker going back to Minnesota. You have Percy Harvin going back to Minnesota, but the question is, can those guys get the ball from Geno Smith? That's the question. Obviously, you probably don't want to lay 6 here with Minnesota, but a game that I won't be on in either direction, but this feels like a really, really, really flat spot for the Jets.
Yeah, you can't imagine that they're going to bring anything close to the effort we saw on Monday night in divisional showdown, looking to play spoiler against one of their bitter rivals, the Miami Dolphins. This game I actually took a position on myself early in the week, Buffalo and Denver. We've seen, we'll call it Denver, a 9.5, 10-point favorite for this one. Total down to 47.5. You were able to pick off some 49s here in town. Denver's defense pretty impressive in that dominating win Sunday night against Kansas City. Buffalo, we know, seems to be a one-trick pony. If they can't run the football, it's struggle city for the offense. But to the Bills' credit, they've relied on a very tenacious defense and an aggressive pass rush that may be able to cause some problems for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, under here makes sense, especially when you talk about these two teams. Denver's defense continuing to get better, acclimated to their new pieces. It looks like Talib will be back this week. When you talk about this Buffalo offense, I think they will struggle to run the ball a little bit, and it looks like Watkins has kind of hit that rookie wall. He's getting banged up, and if they don't have Watkins, they don't have much of an offense. So this really feels like the under was the right side, especially how Denver's playing the last few weeks, getting C.J. Anderson really acclimated, becoming a run-first offense. The one thing about this Buffalo defense, I think their secondary stinks. It has all season, but it's been camouflaged by the ability of the front four to get pressure on the quarterback, not have to send additional players. And this week, when you talk about a Denver passing unit, it's a lot of quick three-step drops. We saw that issue with the Dolphins' defense and their great front four. Weren't able to get the Peyton Manning in time. And that'll be, I think, a tough, tough go for Buffalo's defense this week. The secondary, very, very overrated. I'm not running to lay 10, but I won't be on the dog here. I think under is a very good bet. Now that the number's a little, not a lot of value, maybe you look under in the first half.
Yeah, you should be able to find some 24s out there, maybe even a 24.5 if you shop around and look at your recreational book. But, Payne, how dare you bash that Buffalo Bills receiving core with Scott Chandler and Chris Hogan playing huge roles for Kyle Orton's resurgence as a 52-year-old starting quarterback in the NFL?
Chris Hogan was down here in Miami, a big Chris Hogan fan.
And from a game, Buffalo, you know, up against it, to one of the more intriguing games of the weekend, maybe not from a watchability standpoint, but two teams clearly headed in the wrong direction at the wrong time of the season. Arizona, we'll call it a pick, total of 40.5. You may see Kansas City close the short favorite here, but you talk about Sammy Watkins hitting a rookie wall. Drew Stanton apparently has hit a wall in a full-on frontal car wreck, given how poor he's performed the last couple weeks trying to move this Arizona offense, who may be without the services of Andre Ellington, who looks to be out missing practice for the entire week for this Arizona offense.
It's a tough one. Arizona open pick. Got some money early out to 1.5. We have seen some professional money come in on Kansas City. Andy Reid as a dog on the road in his career has been a fantastic bet. Stanton, though, is a different guy at home. There's no doubt about that. He's been very porous on the road. He is what he is at this stage in the game. He's 30 years old. I don't think there's going to be any huge leaps. For me, it's a tough game to get involved in at a pick. Kansas City needs this game like blood. Obviously, Arizona wants to get things turned back around. And I think we do see an improvement from Stanton. I'm just not sure how big it is. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be a huge loss in the secondary. And again, we've looked to fade this Arizona team multiple times. I just don't think they're as good as that record indicates. I'm going to pass on the game, but some professionals took the 1.5 and took the one with Kansas City yesterday and the day before.
Yeah, and I'll make the claim that I think Kansas City ends up on the outside looking in when the NFC playoff picture is finally sorted out. San Francisco, Oakland, not a whole lot to add to this particular game. The Niners have thrived in the role of road favorite, 12-2-1 against the spread the last 15 times here, but clearly a team trying to figure out an identity who's looked a little sluggish. The effort on Thanksgiving, nothing short of embarrassing. The Raiders, though, fall into a unique spot. I mean, they've won 5 of their last 11 games outright when they're a home underdog of 7 points or more. Wonder if that'll be the case. And, of course, the two biggest games maybe on the entire Sunday docket, Seattle-Philadelphia, Payne. Philly, a 1-point favorite total here, 48. And New England, a 3.5-point road favorite out in San Diego, a spot where they've spent the entire week getting prepared for this game, total of 50.5. I'll let you pick either of those two games and take them whichever direction you feel is best.
I know the two big games. I actually like the first game you mentioned there, and I think Oakland's in a prime spot here. I really do. I think you get beat that way, and again, a lot of emotion. It's going to sound nuts, but getting that first win on Thursday night against the Chiefs was really, you saw all their emotion. It was their Super Bowl, so a lot of emotion drained from that. They get behind early in St. Louis and don't really show up, but I think this is a good spot. A proximity rival. You're talking about a San Francisco team that struggled offensively. Now you're on the road laying 8, 8.5. This, again, will be, I think, Oakland Super Bowl, and I think they do enough to hang around in that game. So I really do like Oakland. I think I'll find myself on that side come Sunday. As for the two bigger games, Seattle-Philadelphia, I think you'll see some professional money on Seattle. They seem to get things going in the right direction, but a game that I probably will not be on. I did enjoy. I like the under. We've seen some money on that side. Seattle, again, getting back to that physical nature attack, defense, running the ball. Philadelphia, though, this is the thing about them. Right now it's a dink-and-dunk offense, and that really plays into the hands of what Seattle does defensively. And that's the reason I think we'll see professionals on the Seattle side. Not much for me on the late game. As easy as it feels to back the home dog here in San Diego in a must-win game, it just something feels wrong to me in this game, and I probably will not be on that game at all.
That makes two of us, and I know some of the more veteran bettors that will listen to this will probably laugh at this statement, but I think I'd be much more apt to look at the Chargers here if they were a 2.5 or 3-point underdog. The hook, because you alluded to, makes it look real easy to take them in this particular spot. Not sure I want any part of it, as the books will look to try and bait some of that home dog money coming in. And as we've seen in the past, the month of December has been owned by the Patriots, and they typically respond very well off a loss. We have to wonder if Bill Belichick already had it in the plans that he knew he was going to take this team out west for a week away from some of the distractions in New England. And of course, the Monday night game, Atlanta and Green Bay, we will cover in greater detail on Monday as we get into that. And for those folks just catching up to speed, the man on the other end of the line, he of Payne Insider, you can follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider, or see his work at his fine website, PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. You can see my work at ToddsTake.com. And Payne, now is a chance that we get to answer a few questions that have come in via social media. And the first one comes from Matt Harrigan. It goes by the Twitter handle, @Matty_H23. says he thinks there's value in the Ravens at 65-1 to win the Super Bowl. Would you still be able to play it or make a case for it after the Haloti Ngata suspension?
You know, it's tough. Unfortunately, I'm sitting on a 40-1 position from before the season. This is a Baltimore team that, you know, professionals have been on this year frequently. I think they're much better than where they're sitting in their division. This is a must-win game. So at 65-1, you know, it might make more sense taking them now as opposed to taking the points this weekend. And essentially what you're doing here is getting a much better money line price. This game is their Super Bowl, essentially, and if they can get a win, their prospects for the playoffs look very good. So it might be worth a shot here at 65-1. We know if this team gets into the playoffs, they've been good on the road, and you probably have a live Super Bowl shot here if the Ravens can get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is obviously getting into the postseason, trying to make a case for the Ravens once they get in. It's anybody's guess in terms of what can happen. And, of course, following up that similar thought process, Pudak Adam asks the question, chances that the Finns somehow find a way to back into a division title if things break the right way and the Patriots lose, you know, maybe two of their last four football games?
Just get into the playoffs. We haven't made it in the playoffs since 2008, and I think right now what a lot of Finns fans don't realize is you should be rooting for the Patriots this week to beat the Chargers. You should be rooting for teams like Denver to knock off the Buffalo Bills. You should be rooting for teams like Cincinnati to be crowned that division champion and knock off some of those wild card teams. Focus on making the playoffs. I don't think a division is very likely, especially when you have that trip to New England, and they will be ready for revenge in that game.
Yeah, it should be an interesting spot. As we know, the Dolphins have had a little bit more success against the Patriots than some other teams, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And one other question that came up actually yesterday before we even used the hashtag and threw it out there on Thursday that I wanted to get your take on from David Arlott. Goes by the handle at DeBerg125. We've spoken about teasers in the podcast before using sides. What's your feeling on incorporating totals in an NFL teaser, whether it be of the 6, 6.5, or 7-point variety?
You know, I'm going to get crucified probably because, you know, essentially you're not supposed to use them on totals. I can tell you professionals that look to get down, when we think there's a right side, and we love the position, we're looking to get down as much money as humanly possible on that side or total, whether it's via a teaser. And you've worked behind the counter. You know about correlated parlays, and typically they don't allow side to total. But when it comes to teasers, you can do that. And I know a number of professionals a few weeks ago on a total they loved with Cleveland and Atlanta. They were using teasers on that total, getting it down through the largest key numbers in all of the game. It opened 47. They were getting it down to going over 40. So you're getting over the number of 41, 43, 44, and 45, which right now, that's your key number central station for total. So I know a lot of people won't agree with it, but when it comes to professionals looking to get down as much money as humanly possible on sides and totals, they have used it frequently on totals.
I'd like to say there are very few absolutes in sports betting, so if you can identify an edge, take full advantage. And Payne, let's be honest here. We have our hordes of trolls and haters out there. They were going to crucify you and I no matter what we said, even if we went 32-0 in a week in the NFL on every single game on the board.
Yeah, I think that's the nature of the beast. You can win 100 in a row in this business, and all you'll hear about is the one loser.
Hey, if you go 101, I don't think you have to worry about a lot of detractors or haters out there. You can drown out a lot of that noise with the cash that'll be filling your pockets. And as we're recording this podcast, we talked about the Rams and Redskins. We've seen the big move now. The board officially painted 3 with St. Louis, a 3-point road favorite, everywhere from 5 dimes to Bet Online to Jazz, Grande, and a little bit of a stronger 3 starting to pop at Pinnacle and Chris, as well as the big books here in town. So keep an eye on that as we get closer to Sunday. And of course, Payne, what everyone came to listen to, the big game tonight between the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears. Dallas, a 4-point road favorite, total of 51. Spoke to a few sportsbook figures around town early this morning. Said they weren't sure who the Cowboys were playing betting number-wise because everyone coming to the window betting 101 in parlay, teasers, and straight plays.
This Chicago Bears team is going to be extremely tough to back here. But I think you have to do it, and I think you wait as long as possible. We saw earlier in the week a couple of the fours, once it got there, were snagged right away. I'm not sure the market could hold 3.5, and we've seen that that's not the case. It can't hold 3.5 right now. We'll be interesting to see when the professionals take their stance on the Bears. But I think that is the side, as bad as the Bears are. Really, this is a Bears team that deserves about 2 wins that they have this season. It's a really, really bad team. The question here is, can the mad Canadian and sometimes the drunk quarterback, it seems, Jay Cutler, get things going offensively? That's really where this team has struggled. Their defense is bad. We've known it's been bad. But can they muster some points? And if they can, they'll have some success against this Dallas defense, who I think is one of the worst units of all time. It's really been camouflaged how bad that unit is because they've been able to keep their offense on the field with DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, and as square as it sounds, I mean, you look at these two teams, we know they played last year in what was a very entertaining, high-scoring affair. The weather should be pretty promising for Chicago in the month of December. You're looking at 35-degree temperatures, slight wind gusts of about 8 miles an hour blowing across the field. I can't see that playing a huge role here. And if these two teams decide they want to try and air it out or even run the football, they should have some success. I'll make a mild case to go over 51. Just so difficult to back the Bears. Maybe if you want to get involved there, you look to tease the Bears up. 11 points would have me feeling a little bit more comfortable than backing them plus 4, given how we've seen them finish games the last handful of weeks.
Yeah, you know, the total makes sense. But again, I wouldn't say a short week since they played on Thanksgiving. But again, a lot of these guys weren't doing much until Monday. What we've been doing is reading some things, and Dallas has talked about getting back to the ground game. Matt Forte and the Chicago Bears have talked about getting a ground game established, so that would scare me a little bit when you look to go over here in this game with both teams talking about getting the ground game going. But, you know, gun to head, I would lean towards the over here. Should be points aplenty when we talk about these two defenses. But a total this high, teams wanting to get acclimated to the ground game again, you get a few red zone stops. It's really tough to go over a number this high.
And, of course, fantasy championships won and lost this time of year, Payne. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be glued to some of those things as they head towards the fantasy football playoffs, whether they be for recreational pursuits or large money leagues that are out there. And as always, Payne, it is a pleasure. Any final nuggets to impart upon our listeners before we bid them good luck to face a busy weekend and we reconvene on Monday?
Nothing too crazy. We talked about two sides that we liked. We liked the Browns. It'll be interesting to see how high that line goes. I like it at 3.5, but if you can get your hands on a 4, I think that's probably a good bet. I will be waiting as long as possible on the Oakland Raiders, but I think that will be another good bet this weekend.
Let it be said that no one in this business has ever accused you of being afraid to back a bad football team, whether it be the NFL, college, or your favorite league to handicap of all, the glorious CFL, which wrapped up this past Sunday.
Managed to not find myself on the dog in the Grey Cup, which is a
They did sneak in the back door, Hamilton, with a valiant effort just coming up short against Calgary. For Payne Insider, follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider or visit his website, PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. Check out my work at my website, toddstake.com. Plenty of great coverage across all sports. And if you get bored Friday night after that Pac-12 championship, flip on over to Fox Sports 1 and our countdown to kickoff as we preview the college football weekend. Best of luck this weekend with all your NFL, college, NBA, college basketball, NHL, whatever the hell you want to bet on. Hopefully we'll see you at the window.